left resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
We've waited patiently for you to renounce this unholy pact with our oppressors. We've heard nothing.
This is the cost of that silence.
Choose to sign this corrupt document. Understand that you will also be staining it with the blood of the remaining hostages.
If CTU can't pull this off in time, that's upwards of 60 people, Mike.
Mrs. Logan, if someone altered the recording of your conversation with David Palmer, the president needs to know.
Between the summit and the hostage situation, he's not in the frame of mind to deal with this. Until the treaty's signed, I'm not letting this out of my sight.
What did she tell you?
She said it was a transcript of a call she had with David Palmer.
Walt Cummings chloroforms the First Lady and steals the transcript.
I understand President Logan wants us to go into the terminal as soon as possible.
Yes, before the treaty is signed. Curtis, what's your situation?
Our men are in place and we're setting the entry charges. We should be able to make our entry on target.
I assume Mr. Bauer's been taken into custody?
Well, I plan to debrief him here.
Bring him in now. Diane, what's going on? What's wrong?
Derek is inside the terminal.
I see him. He's with the other hostages, but he's not hurt.
Please don't let anything happen to him.
This is not your fault.
I'm the reason you went along with him.
This is not over.
Fire!
We've got a problem. One of the hostages is missing. He was working with the terrorists.
Give me a description. I'll take care of
you. I'll help you. Let's go.
McKenna just gave orders to take you into custody.
I watched Baresh give this guy a key card. Something else is going down here. We've got to find this guy now.
A battery of sinister canisters sit in swirling dry ice.
The following takes place between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m.
The man in the yellow tie, who had posed as one of the hostages, helps the long-haired terrorist carry one of the canisters across the floor of the warehouse. They deposit the metal flask with others in a case. The other pair of accomplices peel from the side of the van a magnetic panel bearing the livery of a catering company. Beneath this, in bold white letters, reads, Police Department, SWAT. The case is loaded onto the van. Yellow tie and long hair climb into the back. The henchmen, now in SWAT team uniform, shut them in and drive the van out of the hangar. A 4x4 drives along briskly. In the back seat sits Jack Bauer. A woman in the front turns to him.
Sorry we have to bring you in like this, Jack.
It's all right, Maura, I understand.
A year and a half. How'd you manage to stay invisible for so long?
Apparently I wasn't as invisible as I should have been.
Tyler.
Maura, it's Curtis. Put Bauer on.
It's Agent Manning.
Yeah. Jack, you said the suspect was hiding among the hostages?
Yeah, right up until the assault began, so around 10:30. Then he must have broken for an exit.
What exit was closest?
Without an alarm? Between gates 6 and 7.
Thanks, Jack.
Yeah.
Pull up external video starting at 10:30. All cameras covering gates 6 and 7.
The terrorist's bogus SWAT team van approaches the exit barrier of the airport. Guards approach.
Hang on, guys. I'll lock you out. Are you good to go?
Yellow tie, concealed in the rear, speaks into his mobile.
We're away.
Evelyn walks down the corridor to Martha Logan's room. She opens the door to find Martha sprawled unconscious on the bed.
Mrs. Logan? Oh, my God.
Help! Someone!
Something's happened to the First Lady. Get a doctor now.
Martha lies inert. Curtis stands by the mobile operations unit.
According to Jack, he should be between gates 6 and 7, just outside this view.
I got this feed from 10 minutes ago.
Try camera 7. Camera 4. Tighten up. Yellow tie, got him. All right, let's follow him. Damn it, what camera covers the adjacent sector?
It's 14A, but it's a bad angle.
pull it up anyways, match the time codes.
Okay, got him. This is 2 minutes, 25 seconds later.
What hangar is that?
Hangar double B.
Has it been searched yet?
No. It was outside the secure perimeter.
All right, I'm gonna take a field team and head over there. Send this info to comm.
C-Man with me, let's move!
Hangar double B, let's go!
CTU Styles.
Edgar, Jack told us about a suspect hiding among the hostages. We just picked up surveillance on him. He entered hangar double B at roughly 10:57.
Did you check it out yet?
No, we're going in now. I'll need comm.
I'm on it. Chloe, what volume is airport facilities on?
Hennessy 4.
The police and SWAT team arrive at the hangar.
Team 2, cover the rear.
11:06. Curtis's men jemmy open a side door. The team fan out silently through the hangar. Curtis moves forward cautiously, his pistol drawn. The hydraulic arm of a small construction vehicle is tipped with a pneumatic drill pointing downwards. Curtis's face grows puzzled as he sees the rough hole in the floor. He moves forward and peers down to where sits the huge metal box. Troopers gather around the top of the ladder.
Check it out. Everyone else, search the building, see what you can find.
Several officers climb down the ladder. Curtis continues his cautious reconnaissance of the building. Something catches his eye at the foot of a sliding vehicle door. It is a dead rat, horribly contorted, and there are more. Curtis hunkers down to get a closer look, and using a shard of broken china, flips the rat over.
Craig. Send a forensic team down here now. Tell them they'll need a full biopack with spectrum analyzers.
End of part one. Part two. Yellow Tie gets out from the bogus SWAT van. A man in a check shirt opens the back of a lorry.
Any problems getting the canisters out?
No. They were hidden exactly where you said they'd be. Everything on schedule with that transport?
Customs documents are being finalized at the port.
Good. Russians will finally understand the consequences of occupying our homeland when we turn Moscow into a graveyard.
11:08. The president hurries along a corridor. Martha is being seen by the doctor. Logan to Evelyn.
When did this happen?
A few minutes ago. I came back in and I found her on the bed.
What do you mean, came back in? You mean you left her alone? What happened, doctor? Is she all right?
She seems to be now, but I have to do some tests to find out why she blacked out.
I didn't black out. Someone did this to me. Someone attacked me, Charles.
Shh,
Martin. You have to do something. You have to do something. They're trying to get me.
No, no one's trying to get you. We just want you to do well.
Listen. I had the proof. And now it's gone.
What proof? What are you talking about?
Proof that David Palmer called me to warn me about today.
Are you still on this?
We've never been off of it. You just wouldn't listen to me.
Sir, is everything okay?
I think so.
No, no! Damn it, it's not okay. You people have got to listen to me. I had a document from the archive room.
Where was this?
I am trying to tell you. It was hidden in my blouse. It's gone. Someone stole it from me.
Mary, you've been under a lot of stress. We all have. Let Dr. Hill examine you, and we can figure out how to get you better.
You don't believe me? You don't believe your own wife?
Logan approaches the doctor.
Secretary of State, and I have to get to. there's any sudden changes, you get back to me as soon as possible.
Yes, Mr. President.
Charles, don't leave.
Honey, I'll be right down.
No, honey. I don't leave.
You need to get some rest.
Please.
Close that door.
Eleven ten. Logan sweeps out of the room, grim-faced. He stops. The security guards back off. Logan turns to Walt.
What do I do about this, Walt?
This is what she was like before you sent her to Vermont.
You're suggesting that I readmit her?
You have to consider the option. For her sake.
She said she'd rather die than go back in there.
Sir, if she's going to persist with these conspiracy theories, it's only a matter of time before she talks to someone who believes her. Then we really will have a problem.
I wish you were wrong, but I don't think you are.
Do you want me to handle this, sir?
Make the arrangements, but don't let Martha find out. Let me be the one to tell her.
Yes, sir.
Walt leaves. Logan looks deeply anguished. Walt emerges into the sunlit cloister and takes the call to his phone.
Yeah.
Have you handled the problem there?
Yes. Martha Logan won't be giving us any more trouble.
Good. Erwick has just completed transferring the gas to the semi. He's on his way to the port.
And the authorities don't know anything's been stolen?
Not yet.
Well, then the only thing we have left to take care of is Bauer.
Where is he?
On his way to CTU.
He's getting too close. He's already started putting the pieces together.
I know. He needs to be taken out. I'm handling it myself.
How? Once he gets to CTU, your hitter won't be able to get near him.
I have someone on the inside who can help us.
Then use him.
Done.
11:16. Forensics teams, some in respirators, examine the metal container. One of them scrapes samples from the corpse of a rat. A soldier climbs the ladder out of the pit. Curtis stands listening through his headset.
Are you sure those readings are right?
They're right. 2,000 parts per million. That could only be military grade.
I'll tell them.
Where are you going? I need you to finish the shell script.
Not now.
Since when do you say not now?
According to this, the hangar was leased to some offshore company, but it's been vacant for at least 18 months.
Sir? I just heard from Curtis. He was right. There was nerve gas in Hangar Double B.
That's what killed the rats.
There were trace amounts found in the animal's blood, but the concentrations were definitely mil-spec, weaponized.
So this man in the yellow tie, the suspect that Bauer was telling us about, that's what he was doing at the airport? Stealing canisters of nerve gas out of the hangar?
Stealing from home. Military destroyed its stockpiles years ago.
Maybe this nerve gas wasn't produced by the military. Edgar, have forensics get a signature off the trace sample. See if they can figure out who manufactured it. Chloe, elevate our alert status. Activate all available personnel and get Curtis back here. We're going to need everyone we have.
I wouldn't issue a statement about the First Lady for another couple of days. Let your successes today run front and center on all the networks.
That sounds right.
Dr. Hill, please, come in. How's Martha doing?
Well, she's asleep now.
Have you figured out what caused the blackout?
Well, I spoke with her psychiatrist, Dr. Carlstrom, and none of the medication she's been prescribing would have caused this kind of collapse.
So we still don't know what it was?
Not yet, no.
Mr. President, I need to speak to you and Walt alone.
Thank you, Doctor. Keep a close eye on her. We'll talk soon.
Yes, Mr. President.
11:18.
What's up, Mike?
I'm afraid the situation at the airport has taken an unexpected turn.
What's the problem? The hostages were saved. We've captured or killed all the terrorists.
Not all of them. One of the terrorists was posing as a hostage. He used the hostage crisis to cover a theft.
A theft? What was stolen?
A cache of chemical weapons.
What kind of chemical weapons?
Nerve gas.
Is it ours?
No, sir. The CTU is still trying to source it, but it was buried in a bunker at the airport. It seems this man had another crew waiting for him there.
Do we have any idea what the terrorists are planning?
Well, they haven't made any demands or issued any threats yet.
Well, what are we doing to stop them?
CTU is running an interagency search effort. They're coordinating ground operations, filtering intelligence.
Has the press found out about this yet?
No, sir. It's being kept internal.
Whatever retaliation we were bracing for an hour ago is nothing compared to what these people are capable of doing now.
Sir, I'll assemble the Homeland Security team to discuss evacuation scenarios.
At CTU, Spencer enters.
I've sent everyone updates on the airport forensics. What did you want me on next?
Check the task list. You don't need to ask me every time you need something new to do.
I don't care if you are my boss or if you regret sleeping with me last night. No one talks to me like that.
Really? I just did.
Edgar observes this spat from the other side of the office. Spencer receives a call but declines to answer. He passes close by Edgar, who throws him a look and then moves solicitously over to where Chloe scowls at her screen. Edgar stands looking at her.
Now, what's your problem?
I don't have a problem.
Then what do you want?
Nothing.
Edgar, look, I'm sorry that my private life hasn't remained private today.
I'm thinking the opposite.
What do you mean?
You're too private. We've known each other for years. And today I find out you're keeping secrets from me?
Haven't you ever taken a psychology class? People keep secrets.
I don't. Not from my friends. Why don't you tell me Jack was alive?
Oh, come on. It's called national security.
Yeah, well, what about Spencer? I didn't even know you two were going out.
Oh, give me a break. Okay, when we find the nerve gas and the alert level drops, we can have some chamomile tea, and I'll tell you all my secrets, okay?
Edgar throws Chloe a look of deep disappointment. She rolls her eyes as he leaves. Spencer finds a shadowy spot among file shelves.
You paged me.
Has Bauer arrived at CTU?
No, not yet.
When he does, I need you to do something.
We have our hands full searching for the nerve gas.
Bauer is a priority. I need you to clear an entrance into CTU.
I'm sending it now. Okay.
Ms. Raines?
I'll go back to you. Yes.
I take it you're up to speed on the nerve gas that was stolen from the airport?
I was just filling in DOD.
Diana Huxley and her son were brought in to be debriefed. I'd like you to interview her.
Interview her about what?
Any information she has that could help us find the nerve gas.
What could she possibly know about that?
I've reviewed the evidence against Jack Bauer, and I'm inclined to agree with your assessment that he was framed for the assassination of David Palmer.
Thank you.
I also think that whoever framed Jack is also involved with the theft of this nerve gas, which means that Diane Huxley could have had contact with that person without realizing it.
I'm not a trained interrogator.
But you know Jack Bauer better than anyone else in here. You have something in common with this woman. It might help her open up. I realize it's awkward, but I need you to do it.
Fine. I'll see what I can get from her. Where is she?
She and her son just cleared security.
Audrey looks up. She focuses on Diane and Derek as they walk close together into the CTU operations room.
Miss Huxley, I'm Audrey Raines.
Hi.
Hello.
This is my son, Derek.
Hi. I'm going to be asking you a few questions, and Derek, I want you to be checked out by a doctor while I speak with your mother.
There's nothing wrong with me.
It's just procedure. And when you're done, you and I will speak. Can you take him to medical, please?
It's okay, I'll see you in a bit.
Derek is led unwillingly away.
Don't worry, he'll be fine.
Is Jack going to be here soon?
He's on his way in. Come with me.
I had no idea he worked in a place like this.
It's just up these stairs.
Did you know him before?
Yes. I knew him.
11:24, end of part 2. Part 3, 11:28, a lorry passes over a high bridge. In CTU, Edgar looks up. Along the glass-sided corridor leading to the operations room, Jack Bauer is being escorted. CTU staff all stop in their tracks.
A lot of people here thought you were dead until today.
Yeah, I know. Excuse me. Chloe.
Hi, Jack.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
We would have made it out of that airport without your help. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Bauer, Lynn McGill from Division. Bauer, I'll assume custody at this point. Thank you. You're no longer a suspect in President Palmer's murder, but while you're here, you will need this. We'll give you level 2 clearance.
Thank you. Was Agent Manning able to apprehend the suspect?
No. It seems the person you identified used the hostage situation as a cover to steal a cache of weaponized nerve gas from the airport.
Nerve gas? How do you know that?
Following your lead, Curtis found trace amounts in a hangar adjacent to the terminal. We don't know how much there is, and we don't know where it came from, but it is a military-grade chemical weapon.
Do you have any leads?
Not yet, but we're going to run the search operation from here.
You're not going to be able to track these terrorists fast enough with a standard search operation. The only way you're going to get that nerve gas in time is if you find out who ordered the hit on David Palmer.
I agree. I think David Palmer was about to expose this plot. I think that's why he was killed. I also think that if you can help us identify who framed you, we can intercept this nerve gas while there's still time.
Hello, Jack.
Hey, Bill.
The president's been informed of the nerve gas. He wants to ensure the media doesn't find out.
We'll make sure Division restricts information flow. We'll continue this conversation when I'm done.
11:30.
Good to see you again, Jack.
It's good to see you too, Bill. I'm so sorry about Michelle. I never meant to put her in jeopardy.
Of course you didn't.
How's Tony doing?
He's still unconscious, but the doctor says he's going to pull through.
Good. We're going to need to speak to him as soon as possible.
They know to call us. Jack, Audrey's been working for us.
She's here in the building now?
She's debriefing Diane Huxley.
Why is she talking to Diane?
Lynn asked her to.
I'm not used to calling him Jack. He said his name was Frank Flynn. I thought he worked for the oil company. You probably know more about him than I do.
We all thought he was dead for the last year and a half.
So what do you want to know?
You said that Jack was living with you for the last 6 months. Is that correct?
He was renting a room.
So you don't have a personal relationship with him?
I'm not sure that's any of your business.
I'm sorry. I need to know how close you and Jack were, whether he confided in you or not.
Jack's a private person. I always knew he was keeping something from me. I just never pushed it. I accepted him for who he was. Miss Raines, whoever he was before doesn't change the way I feel about him. He was good to me. He was good to my son. He meant a lot to us. He still does.
I see. Did anyone ever come by and ask about Jack?
What do you mean?
Someone knew that Jack was alive. It's critical to our investigation that we find out who that was.
No. No one ever asked about him. No one ever came to see him.
Audrey's attention is suddenly drawn to Jack, who stands looking at her through the glass door of the office. Diane notices Jack and the intensity of Audrey's gaze. Jack appears to recollect himself and casts a look at Diane. His eyes, however, are drawn back to Audrey. Diane seems to put two and two together. Jack walks away.
Can you excuse me for a minute, please? For me, thinking that you died, believing that I was angry at you, that I hated you. I wasn't able to forgive myself for that.
You had every reason to hate me. I was responsible for Paul's death. I lied to you.
Jack, you made a hard decision. get another chance to tell you this. But I want you to know that I don't blame you for what happened with Paul.
Thank you.
Jack, there's so much that I want to say to you. I know it's not the right time.
Mr. McGill needs to see you.
I'll be right down.
I should go.
Audrey walks away, wiping away tears. Jack, torn, watches her go. 11:34, Evelyn leaves Martha's apartment.
Evelyn, is Mrs. Logan still asleep?
Yes, she's finally getting some rest.
Good. You should probably start gathering some of her things.
I thought the president was staying through the weekend.
He is, but she'll be leaving today.
Where's she going?
Just make sure she has the essentials to make her trip comfortable.
Yes, sir.
In a shady corner of CTU, surrounded by banks of mainframe computers, Spencer works standing up at a screen. He keys in Spencer W and then a password. Up onto the screen comes a moving image of Jack Bauer walking down a corridor. Spencer looks up as Chloe enters.
Edgar said he saw you come in here. What are you doing?
Setting up a new socket. We're overloaded from the NSA database. Why are you here?
Looking for you.
What for?
I need to get into your utilities volume.
Why didn't you message me?
Okay, I wanted to say something too. Let's not make a big drama out of it.
What?
I was unfairly harsh to you a few minutes ago. I didn't mean anything.
All right. Apology accepted.
It wasn't really an apology. It was more of an observation. I mean, the fact... Spencer? Damn it. Why do I do that?
Chloe is left alone. She is drawn to Spencer's vacated screen on which Data is now scrolling down. She throws a suspicious glance towards the door. The words Access Level 5 flash onto the screen. Chloe frowns.
Edgar Stiles.
It's Chloe.
What is it?
I need to know Spencer's clearance level.
Why are you asking?
Spencer works for me, and I need to know his clearance level. So could you please open the header file and give it to me, Edgar?
Fine. Level 3.
Chloe.
Call Buchanan, tell him I need to talk to him now. It's important.
11:37. A man approaches a security check.
Division sent me. One of your mainframe servers is cycling slow.
You're not on the manifest.
I was told to be taken care of.
I'm gonna have to clear this with the systems administrator.
Are you Hank from on-site support?
Yeah.
My fault. I was supposed to advance him an emergency clearance.
Place a bag on the conveyor belt. Walk right through, sir.
Hank, under Spencer's authority, places his bag on the conveyor belt and walks through the arch of the metal detector. The X-ray screen flashes up images of mole grips and rows of metal implements. Spencer looks on. Hank's face muscles are working somewhat. The case emerges and the guard appears satisfied.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll show you the way. Mr. Cummings told me it would be best to keep you off the manifest. Classified material generally runs on servers 9 and 12. All the information you need on Bauer should be there. I don't know what files Mr. Cummings asked you to download, but you need to keep vector counts the same, or it'll get flagged.
I got it.
Get back to my station.
Spencer leaves Hank hunched over his case on the floor of the computer room. The man removes a panel from the case and, using various disparate metal parts, constructs what swiftly becomes recognizable as an automatic pistol with a silencer. Martha Logan lies on her bed. Evelyn switches on a lamp. She begins to pack a case.
Evelyn, what are you doing?
Mrs. Logan, are you feeling better?
Why are you packing my things?
Walt Cummings asked me to.
Why? Where are we going?
I don't know if the president's going with you.
Evelyn, stop. What's going on?
They just asked me to get you ready to leave.
Martha closes her eyes, seemingly resigned.
They're sending me to Vermont, aren't they? Charles is having me committed.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Logan. I honestly don't know anything else.
Fine.
Martha sits slowly up in bed. Evelyn casts her a covert glance.
I'll get dressed.
Her eyes filled with a deep, weary sadness, Martha moves into the bathroom and pulls the sliding glass door behind her.
Edgar, FGA is locked. Where's Chloe?
How should I know?
Can you unlock this?
No.
Mr. Wolf, please come with us. What do you want?
Dr. Buchanan has ordered us to take you to him immediately.
In the middle of a critical task.
Mr. Stiles has been authorized to take over your workload.
Did you know about this, Edgar?
Yeah. I just got the bulletin. Sorry.
Mr. Wolf, please.
Spencer walks haughtily away, escorted by two security guards. Edgar watches him suspiciously. Spencer throws Edgar a glance back through the glass door.
Chloe? Sir? What is going on here?
Sit down, Spencer. You've been burrowing into classified CTU protocols without authorization.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Stop. I know you logged onto the security subsystem where you had no right to be. We're going through your system, so you might as well tell us now what you were doing.
I told you I was opening an
assault. That's enough! You've accessed files outside your clearance level at least 18 times in the 4 months you've been here.
Sir, whatever you think you found, it's a mistake. I've done nothing wrong.
Come on, Spencer. You obviously have your own agenda here.
I don't have an agenda.
And while you're at it, why don't you explain why it was necessary to crawl into my bed, which certainly wasn't what it appeared to be, just like your work here isn't what it appears to be.
Chloe, let me handle this, please.
Sir, obviously you can't take anything she says into consideration. I was careless. And inadvertently, I caused her some emotional pain.
Oh, please.
And now she's trying to get back at me.
I don't think so, Spencer.
Sir, I'd like to talk to a lawyer.
Forget about a lawyer. We're in the middle of a terrorist crisis. There are lives on the line. You're going to tell us what you've been doing here, and you're going to tell us now.
Spencer appears cornered. 11:47. President Logan to Walt.
I hope this goes better than when I sent her up there the last time.
Dr. Hill and his staff are on standby if she overreacts.
I'm not looking forward to this. Evelyn?
Mr. President.
Where is she?
She's in the bathroom, sir.
Martha! Marty!
Are you sure she's in there?
Yes, sir. She's getting dressed.
Marty!
Logan spots Martha's medication bottle. He picks it up with a look of deep concern. He turns and walks reluctantly towards the tightly drawn shower curtain. The window is open.
Aaron, my wife is gone.
This is Pierce. We have a priority alert. The First Lady has left her quarters and is unaccounted for. All agents in the main wing move to points north and west. Anyone spotting her, check in immediately.
Logan looks towards Walt, who looks nervous. 11:48, end of part 3. Part 4, 11:53.
So the only people who knew you were alive were David Palmer, Tony Almeida, Michelle Dessler, and Chloe O'Brien.
Yeah, and at least one other person who killed David Palmer and tried to frame me for it.
And you don't know who that other person might be?
No.
Any theories?
About a year and a half ago, David Palmer called me. Told me that someone in Logan's administration was targeting me.
Which is why you faked your own death and assumed a new identity.
Yeah, except it didn't work. I believe that whoever tried to kill me 18 months ago somehow found out I was still alive and waited until today to exploit that information.
Someone inside President Logan's administration?
That's what David Palmer told me a year and a half ago, and I believe him.
Well, first of all, that means someone in this administration is also tied to the theft of the nerve gas.
Yeah, you're gonna have to look into that.
Well, even if you're right, there are hundreds of people in Logan's administration. It would take an investigation of that magnitude months to gain any traction, and we don't have months to work with.
Mr. McGill, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Dr. Paulson is calling for medical.
Put him through.
Mr. McGill.
Yes?
Tony Almeida has regained consciousness and is in recovery.
Can he talk?
Yes, he's very weak. You'll have to be brief.
Let him know I'll be down in a few minutes.
Tony asked if he could speak to Jack Bauer first. Says it's important.
He's a friend of mine.
Tell Mr. Almeida that Jack will be down in a few moments.
I'll let him know.
Thank you. I'll be right back.
McGill watches Jack go. 11:54. Jack walks down the corridor. Derek rounds the corner from the other direction.
Jack.
What's going on?
I know you're busy. I just wanted to apologize.
You have nothing to apologize for.
Yes, I do. I thought you were just another loser trying to take advantage of my mom. I was wrong.
You were trying to protect her. Your mother is lucky to have someone who loves her as much as you do. As soon as this is over, I promise you, you and I are going to get a chance to sit down and talk. Right now, I have to go.
Yeah.
Take care of your mother.
Derek watches Jack go. Bill interrogates Spencer.
Who gave you the level 5 authorization?
Don't look at me. Answer him.
I can't. I can't talk to anyone here about this.
Whatever you were doing is over, Spencer.
Sir, I was able to pull Spencer's screen activity from the archive. This is what he was looking at 10 minutes ago. Looks like he was using in-house surveillance to track someone through CTU.
Why are you tracking Jack Bauer? What the hell's going on here, Spencer?
I was following orders. I'm sure if they're tracking Jack Bauer, they have a reason.
Who is they?
I won't say anything else.
Chloe, find security. Have him locate Jack now.
Spencer holds Bill's stare. Jack walks along a corridor. He stops at a door, peers through, and then enters. A man stands to the left of the doorway, wearing blue surgical scrubs.
Dr. Paulson.
Yes?
I'm Jack Bauer. Tony Almeida wanted to speak with me.
Oh, of course, Mr. Bauer. Just remember to please keep it brief.
Thank you, sir.
Jack gently approaches the low bed in which Tony Almeida lies, tubes and bandages around his face and with eyes closed.
Tony, it's Jack.
Jack catches a reflection in a glass cabinet. The man in scrubs is, in fact, Hank. Jack manages to disarm the assassin and seems to be getting the better of him in unarmed combat. Hank throws Jack bodily at the wall and then lays into him viciously. The pair now grapple on the floor, holding each other by the throat. Hank, on top, reaches for a pair of surgical scissors. Jack clocks the body of the doctor beneath a bed. He struggles to avoid being stabbed in the throat. Jack turns the tables and rams the scissors home. Blood wells from the assassin's mouth as the life leaves his eyes. Jack collapses back against a hospital bed, clutching his side.
Jack! You all right? I think he cracked my rib.
I've been trying to reach him, but the lines were locked out. What happened? Who is he?
I don't know, but he's a professional. He killed Dr. Paulson, then he tried to kill me. You have any idea how he got into CTU?
We identified a mole working in Chloe's department.
Who?
Spencer Wolfe. We've been interrogating him, but he hasn't talked yet.
Where is he?
Holding.
Get a doctor down here to monitor Tony Almeida now. Lock this room down.
Contact Lynn McGill, have him meet me at Holding.
Tony lies in his hospital bed. Spencer sits impassively in the interrogation room. Derek is escorted back to his mother. Yellow Tie sits in the cab of the lorry as check shirt drives. 11:58, Jack bursts into the interrogation room.
Bring up visual surveillance on medical room 2.
Open the door.
Jack brings up onto a computer screen an image of the dead assassin. He then moves through to the inner room where Spencer sits.
I want to show you something. Get up! Did you let that man in to see? This man is a professional assassin. He just killed Dr. Paulson. He tried to kill me. Did you let him into CTU?
They told me he was here to face a tap on one of the servers. That's all I knew.
Who told you?
I was here as part of an internal affairs investigation.
Are you starting to understand how much trouble you were in? I'm going to give you one more chance. Who told you to let that man into CTU?
The White House. Mr. Cummings. The White House. Cummings recruited me after I started working here. He said that they wanted to make sure that CTU was operating within the rules. You have to believe me. I thought I was serving the president.
Yeah. Take him back to Holding.
Spencer, dazed and sweating, is taken away.
Well, Cummings killed David Palmer. He tried to have me killed.
Even if it's true, we have to build a case before we call the president.
We don't call the president. He's here in California. We go see him now.
Cummings is the president's chief of staff, Jack, and his friend. Without any hard evidence, CTU can't touch him.
I'm not CTU. I'll go get Walt Cummings myself.
...12 p.m. The end.